Welcome to the very fantastic Discoveries podcast with your host, Jugie Farmer.
Hello, and welcome to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Jugie Farmer. Today, we are talking about the origin of poetry, Freya, Nord, Frey, and the Aesir Vanir War in general. Note, as I said in earlier episodes, I am trying not to become a clone of myths and legends, so I'm trying my best. Let's get started! So, there was this sorceress who was using her powers to get gold from different people. The gods did not like that, so they burnt her again and again over a fire. Since she was a sorceress, though, she survived. And the same cycle repeated again and again and again for who knows how long. Then she went back to the Vanir, who were her home tribe of gods, and told them to start a war, for the Aesir had been unkind to her. The Aesir had been unkind to her, but all the sorceress was doing was starting trouble on purpose. Nobody knows much about the war, but eventually, the gods got tired of it and made a peace treaty. That peace treaty involved exchanging hostages between the two tribes and pledging peace by spitting into a vat to create a new god who would see both sides of every argument, Kvasir. Now, the Aesir got a good deal. They got Nord, the god of ships, Freya, the goddess of beauty, who had a cat chariot, and Frey, the most nature-loving of the nature-loving Vanir. They were all allowed to stay on Asgard as honorary members of the Aesir. The Vanir, however, did not get a good deal. They got Mimir, the god/Jotun, who had given Odin most of his wisdom, which was a good deal, but they also got the indecisive and bumbling Honir. Once the Vanir found out that Honir's good decision-making was because Mimir was whispering advice in his ear, they beheaded Mimir and never took advice from Honir again. I do not know why they did not kill Honir. I don't know, but mythology is confusing. Now, Kvasir was the wisest god ever created, and one day he was telling his wisdom to two dwarves, Valar and Galar, when they decided they would like to become as wise as Kvasir. They killed him and made his blood into mead, which would give them unlimited poetry and scholarship skills. They gave the mead to a giant as compensation for killing the giant's parents, and somehow Odin found out about it. He went to the mountain where the mead was hidden, tricked all of the giant's slaves into killing each other, and found that the mead was being guarded by a beautiful giant maiden. Odin seduced the maiden into letting him drink all the mead of poetry, and then left her with a new baby named Bragi, meaning the one who reads poetry. Odin had turned into a bird, and as the giant, also in the form of a bird, chased him, all Odin can do was to spit out some of the mead of poetry to make himself lighter. He arrived at Asgard with the mead of poetry, shared some with the gods, and the reason humans have poetry is because of that little bit Odin spat out that landed on Earth. This is as crazy of a story as many other mythology stories, and it is even crazier to think that some of the greatest poets are great poets because of the sorceress that started the war. Now I welcome a regular guest, Dylan Fulmer. Hi, Daddy.
Hello, Jugie. How are you this afternoon?
I am very fine.
Did I just say afternoon?
Yes, you did, but I'm fine.
Good. So tell me about the sorceress. What was her name?
I think it was like Golvrk, which means like gold greed or like greedy for gold or something like that. At least that's what it said.
Well, I mean, that pretty much set her up for failure, right? If they, you know, she got named that, like,
yeah,
she's going to be using spells to get gold, right?
Yeah, that's what it said in the Myths and Legends podcast and in the Norse mythology book.
All right. So the gods didn't like her getting gold, right? So this is what started all of this, right?
Yes.
So she was poorly named. So we can go back farther than her lust for gold. She was poorly named.
Yeah.
And that's what caused all of the, that's what caused us to get poetry, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, like anyone with a name that means like greedy for gold or hungrily greedy for gold is gonna get hungrily greedy for gold at some point.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Setting her up for failure later in life. So then, so the gods didn't like this, and they basically Sisyphus'd her.
Yeah, like burning. Wait, that didn't happen to Sisyphus.
No, but like something that happened over and over and over again. It seems like that's a common thing for like godly punishment is like, you're not going to get it just once. It's going to keep happening every day, over and over again.
Well, the reason why, well, I actually burned her once, and the reason why I said over and over again is that she kept rising from the flames unharmed over and over again, and they had to keep doing it over and over again until finally, she was still unharmed, and she went back to the Vanir, her home tribe of gods, and said that those people burned me alive, and I definitely didn't deserve it.
Gotcha. So she wasn't a god herself.
Well,
she was a sorcerer.
Sorceress. And I think she was a god too, because the Vanir are the tribe of more nature-loving gods.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just curious, like what the demarcation or difference would be between a sorceress or a god or a demigod. Like, it's all magical powers, basically.
Well, so a demigod is the child of a god and a mortal.
Right.
A god is like, well,
but they can make demigods like honorary gods. They could change
Dionysus.
That. Right. So it's interesting, like the, you know, how things get named. And it seems not necessarily based on their powers per se or whatever, because anyway, so she goes back to the Vanir. And so my understanding is that there was the Aesir and the Vanir. They were both gods, but they didn't get along. They were,
yeah, because
didn't come from the same.
Yeah. Because like, the Aesir, like Thor, mm-hmm. like compare Thor always smashing things with his hammer for literally almost no reason, mm-hmm. and Frey, who regulates the seasons and like summer, and even has his sword named the Sword of Summer, even though his wife's an ice jotun.
Gotcha.
You would say Thor and Frey are pretty different.
Well, yeah, sure. It's just interesting that there's like two whole separate sets of gods, I guess, that are hanging out at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know, like, before Odin and Thor on the Aesir side and whoever, Frey and whatever else on the Vanir side,
yeah.
There was an older generation of gods before them. Like, did they come from two separate older generations of gods?
No, remember, they're all descended from the, like, Frost Giant, remember?
Okay.
The one that they killed to make the Earth, don't you remember?
Right, right, right. So, I'm just wondering, like, why they split into two separate factions.
I think they were likely like one tribe of gods, and one of them like nature better, and one of them
like just being bossy and like jerks and
yes.
blowing stuff up and having affairs and turning into animals and just being like reckless wielders of power.
And while they're not as irresponsible and weird as the Greek gods, they're certainly getting there, even though Norse mythology I like better than Greek mythology as a whole.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, there aren't really any Zeus characters in Norse mythology, even though Odin is kind of a pretty, like, reckless and not good king of the gods,
mm-hmm.
he is still a bit wiser than Zeus,
mm-hmm.
and plus the gods are actually mortal and they have a doomsday.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, well, apparently Zeus just keeps living forever till his statues all crumble and he's forgotten.
Gotcha. Sort of like Coco, that movie. Imagine Zeus singing, "Remember me."
I don't think I could. I really don't think I could. I don't think Zeus even knows what Mexico is.
Well, true.
Or Disney.
Gotcha. All right, so anyway, so the sorceress comes back, you know, getting back to the original story, and says, like, listen, this is no good. You need to defend my honor and start a war with these guys.
Yeah, and as I said, no one...
So was it all of the Aesir who decided that she should be punished that way, or was it one of them in particular?
I think it was all of them, because they didn't like her using her magic to get gold.
Right. Did they want the gold instead? Was it okay for them to use magic to get gold?
I think in their logic, yes.
Hmm, see?
I think they want to be the sole owners of gold.
Gotcha.
I think some texts that I've read, like the Norse mythology book, holds up the gods even at their worst. Like a Greek mythology one, something related to the crimes of Zeus. The book says, as I mentioned before, that Hera was jealous instead of righteous, and they say that the Aesir just wanted to protect the gold from the sorceress when they probably just wanted all the gold to themselves.
Right, right. So, and as you said, there wasn't much known about, like, the war itself.
No, not really, no.
It's just that, like, sorceress got upset. Yeah. They started the war. War happened, and then not much progress was made, and then they're like, this war is kind of boring. Let's stop doing this.
Yeah, and remember they made, like, the peace treaty where they had to exchange hostages.
Right.
And as I said before, the Aesir got a good deal because they got the god of ships, the god of beauty, and the god of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Vanir got a wise-ish Jotun and the god of indecisiveness and shuffling his feet, basically.
So the Aesir got those from the Vanir, or got them back because they were captured? They were theirs originally.
No, I'm saying that, like, the god of ships, the god of nature, and the goddess of beauty were all Vanir, which were sent to the Aesir as captives at the end of the war.
Gotcha.
And then the god of indecisiveness and shuffling his feet, basically, and the wise-ish Jotun were originally from the Aesir, and they got captured and gone to the Vanir.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but as I understood it, though, at the end, it was saying that these people were now part of the Aesir, and there was no longer two separate pantheons of gods. There was just one. So the Vanir got relegated to, like, lesser god status after this?
I never read that. It was just that the god of nature, the god of ships, and the goddess of beauty just became honorary Aesir. And the god and the wisest Jotun got killed and then revived by Odin, and the god of indecisiveness and shuffling his feet, like, became part of the Vanir.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's how I understood it, was that there were two separate, you know, pantheons of gods that were running things, but then after the war, it seems like even though there was a peace treaty, that the Aesir got the better end of the deal. They were, you know, you said they got the better end of the deal.
Yeah.
But it was also more than just they got better people in the exchange. They were now, like, the head gods, and the Vanir were no longer, like I said, they were relegated to second class status.
I'm not sure about that, but moving on, remember they... and this is where, like, the main part of the story starts.
Right.
As the peace treaty, that all of the gods from the Aesir side and the Vanir side spat into a vat filled with, like, berry juices. And because of the divine liquid and the divine berry liquid mixed together to create a new god who, as I said, could see both sides of every argument, which would be an excellent god to create at a peace treaty, wouldn't you say?
Yes, indeed. So how does this relate to the mead? Where does the mead come into this?
So remember, Kvasir was very, very wise, and he was sharing his wisdom with two dwarves, Thalar and Galar, who are generally untrustworthy.
They weren't the dwarves that made all the stuff.
No, Thalar and Galar are much more devious.
Okay.
And killed Kvasir, drained his essence, and turned it into mead.
So all this wisdom turned into mead. And there were different types of mead that came out of this, like for different types of wisdom that he had?
No, I think it all just got combined into one.
Because you were talking about you said specifically something about the mead of poetry, but it was just all this great wisdom mead.
Yeah, but it was mainly poetry.
Right.
And they found that when they combined it with like honey and like made it so it became actual mead instead of just god essence and berry juice.
Mm-hmm.
It actually made a pretty good mead, along with making a pretty good way to ace your Norse mythology test or something like that.
I guess so, sure. But, so Odin got a hold of the mead, yeah?
Yeah.
And he was trying to bring it back, or what?
Yeah, bring it back for mainly himself, and then maybe a fraction of it to the other gods.
Right.
And remember...
But then he got caught while he was doing this? So he was going to drink it all and then bring it back to
them? He did drink it all.
No, but was that part of the plan to bring it back to Asgard?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So he was going to drink it and then...
Yeah, because remember, he came back in the form of a bird. So maybe he would do like a bird does when bringing food back to her children.
Gotcha. Gross. At least in terms of mead. I mean, I know where that mead's been. I don't know if I want to drink it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and remember, he had...
So who was he being chased by? Sorry to interrupt. Who was he being chased by?
This giant, forget who his name was, but he owed Thalar and Galar because Thalar and Galar killed his mom and dad.
Right.
So they had to pay like a hefty fine. Well, like either a hefty fine or get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose hefty fine. And just as the giant was going to leave them on a rock at sea to die, they gave him the mead of poetry. And he said, okay.
Gotcha.
And as I said, Odin found out about this.
Uh-huh.
And he went there, but there were like slaves guarding his way.
Right.
Like cutting wheat with already super sharp scythes.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he brought a whetstone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, guys, guess what? I can make your blades even sharper. And he demonstrated on one of the slaves' scythes with his whetstone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, whoever can catch this whetstone will be able to own it and make his blade sharper than all the rest. And they jumped at it when he threw it in the air like a coin flip, forgetting they all had sharp sides, and the slaves were out of the way.
What, so they all just, like, accidentally cut off each other's heads?
Yeah, like, accidentally, like, because they had already sharp...
Mm-hmm.
Sides, and they were going to catch the whetstone to make them even sharper, and when they were jumping for the whetstone, they all just got impaled on each other's sides, and the slaves were out of the way. Odin caught the whetstone
and got the mead. Gotcha.
And moved on his way.
And
remember, he had disguised himself as some giant... who I believe his name started with a B, and it meant, like, bringer of bad omen, which was a good thing to name his disguise, as long as nobody cared enough to know what his name meant.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Would you let someone into your house and drink your mead if his name meant bringer of bad trouble?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Apparently the giants didn't stop to realize what his name meant.
Guess not.
So, as I said, like, this beautiful maiden was guarding the mead, right. And he seduced her, and she was like, because, like, oh, you're so beautiful that only if I am the mead of poetry I can make a great song about your beauty. And she's like, all right, like, one sip from each kettle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just one sip from one kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did not specify how big the sip could be because he drained the whole kettle.
Oh, wow.
And then he went and was like, again, oh, you're so beautiful. Now I need to drink the mead a second time to sing of your beauty.
Right.
And she's still like, okay. And he drank another whole kettle.
Wow.
And like, oh, you're so beautiful. I need to drink the mead a third time.
Gotcha.
She's like, okay.
Well, so she wasn't a very good guard, I guess.
Not realizing that he had drank all three kettles of mead and also leaving her with a baby boy.
I see.
As I said, he seduced her.
Sounds very Zeusian.
Yeah! But since this is a Greek mythology, I guess we'll call it Odin-ice or something.
Right. So what did they say happened? Like, you said, so... Bird Odin, who was very highly laden with all of this mead, special poetry mead, spit some out because he wanted to become whiter so he could get away from the giant
who also turned into a bird.
Right. So did something like instantaneously happen when this special mead hit the ground, hit the earth?
No, like it was like spread all over,
mm-hmm.
and whoever had a taste of the mead of poetry became a great poet.
Mm-hmm.
Do
they have any examples?
No, but I'm pretty sure some people who might have drank the mead of poetry if it existed. I know, isn't there a guy named Robert Frost or something?
Oh, yeah.
He probably got a drink of that.
I don't know if he's that old.
But the mead probably stayed on Earth.
Gotcha. I see.
Probably.
All right. Well, anything else you want to discuss about this topic? This has been an interesting topic.
That Bragi, that was the name of the little baby that Odin left the maiden with.
Mm-hmm.
His name means the one who recites poetry because of the mead of poetry that his mom was guarding.
Right.
And guess who he married?
No idea.
Eden, the goddess of immortality fruit.
Aha.
Like, isn't there someone in the Bible who is also, like, something to do with immortality fruit?
Yep.
Maybe we'll talk about Eden and her immortality fruit in Norse mythology some other time.
Okay.
Also, something to note about Eden. In most versions, it said that it was immortality apples specifically, mm-hmm. but that was probably a later addition because apples weren't even in Norse mythology.
Gotcha. All right, Jungi. Well, I'm glad that we got another chance to talk this weekend. It's a little later than normal, but we got it.
One day later.
Well, and it's also a little bit later in the day since we were out of town this weekend. All right. Well, great talking to you, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
You too. See you later. That's all the time we have for now, and I hope you liked this episode about the mead of poetry. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and our website, veryfantasticdiscoveries.com, among others. And just remember that if you're a great poet, you owe it to Kvasir. Next week, you will be learning about what happens to the Bodil Air Trio when they're at boarding school, even before the Netflix show comes out with the episodes. See you next time!